Shalom, everyone. Good afternoon. Today is January 28th, and we are here in Iron Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly class in Parshat HaShavua. And we are going to look at the beginning of this week's Torah reading. And so just for the sake of context, let's read a few verses on page 140. Anyone want to read for me in Hebrew or in English or in any other language?
ויהי בשלח פרעה את העם, ולא נחם אלוהים דרך ארץ פלישתים, כי קרוב הוא. כי אמר אלוהים, פן ינחם העם בראותה מלחמה, ושבו מצרימה. ויסב אלוהים את העם דרך המדבר ים סוף.
One more line, please.
עלו בני ישראל מארץ מצרים.
Okay, excellent. So this is when the Jews are, the Bnei Yisrael are finally leaving Egypt, and God tells us their route.
Is that where the break in the line is? No.
What?
We had a break in line somewhere that we read, and here is another break in the line.
No, it's just the way it's printed. It's just the way the book is printed. Yeah, nothing...
Nothing on purpose.
No, just the way the ink fits on the page. Okay, so Paro lets the people go, and God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Pelishtim. Ki karov hu. It says here, although it was near. We're going to have to understand this. Although it was nearer, for God said the people may have a change of heart when they saw war and returned to Egypt. Let's just get a sense of the lay of the land. So here's Egypt. Here is the Mediterranean Sea. Right? And that is this, we have the Pelishtim are on the coast.
Gaza, right, up towards
heading from Egypt towards Gaza, right? That the Pelishtim are on the coast. The Sinai Desert below. So instead of going to Israel that way through Pelishtim,
the shortcut,
they go down. Sinai presumably
way.
Is down a little bit, and then they flip back up. Okay.
Was the war between the?
That was my virtual map.
They were having a war at the time, or were they?
There's a lot of questions we could ask about this. First of all, the two classic questions. First of all, we have a textual question. Vayhi b'shalach paro ta'am l'nacham Elokim derech erez plishtim ki karov hu. That God did not send them through the lands of the Pelishtim because it was close, as it was close. The fact that it was close seems to recommend rather than discourage that they go there. If that's the close route, then they should go that way. So instead, the verse should have said, the way they translate it here is not really a good translation. The way it's translated here is more of a commentary. Although it was near, that makes sense. So when you read the English, you're not struck with this question. Although it was near, that makes sense. Meaning, despite the fact that it was the shorter route, God took them another route. But ki rarely means although. Ki means because. Right? Or as it was near. Right? According to the Gemara, ki could mean four things. If, perhaps, however, and because.
If, perhaps.
The only thing that makes sense here is because. So if we want to follow classic understanding of the word ki, the verse means God did not take them by the way of the Pelishtim because it was near. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's the first question. So we have a textual question. We also have a conceptual question. Why is the detour necessary?
Well, according to this, there was a war going on. They'll see war.
They'll be in a war.
Well,
so
because they'll see war, so they want to go back to Egypt. They don't want to get involved.
So
anymore.
They have just defeated. God has just destroyed.
They're going to be in a war if they don't get
So first of all, Dani. First of all, a few questions. At the end of the parsha, what happens? At the end of the parsha, they're at a war with Amalek. So God's plan fails. God didn't know? God didn't have a good reconnaissance team?
And that was at the end when they were almost there, not at the beginning.
What do you mean almost there? It's this Parsha.
No. Here,
It's this Parsha. It's not almost in Israel. It's in this Parsha. At the end of this Parsha, while they're leaving. So hold on. 1 second. So they're going to meet Amalek. Second of all, does God's plan work?
No.
How do you know it doesn't work?
Plan works? No. He has a different plan.
What's God's plan here is to help them avoid war. Does that work?
No.
How do you know it doesn't work? It says it in the Torah that's the plan.
No.
1 second. It says it. It says it. The people may. No, I want to ask my question. The people may have a change of heart when they see war. God's trying to help them avoid war. Does that work?
No.
How do you know it doesn't work?
Because they still want to go back to Egypt.
The Egyptians
follow them. There is a war. The Egyptians run after them.
But wasn't he also afraid that they might see war and decide they don't want to leave Egypt?
Either way, God's plan doesn't work.
The Egyptians, the whole army trapped them.
If the whole plan is to help them avoid a war.
But according to this, it says they may change their heart when they see war and return to Egypt.
Right, so if the whole point.
At that point, when the Egyptians catch them, they see the chariots, they say, okay, we give up.
Right, so if the whole point is then to avoid war, in the next sentence, we're going to read that they're trapped by the Egyptians, and that's why God has to split the sea. So in one sentence, God says, hold on. I don't want to take them to the
war. That's a massacre.
I don't want to take them to the Pelishtim because they may be afraid of a war. But I'm going to let the Egyptians chase them to the sea.
It's a bigger miracle with
maybe
the Egyptians
wanted them at
than
the
Pelishtim.
But why not do both miracles?
God wants the Yom Suf.
That's the other question. You're right. Let's say God wants the Yom Suf. I agree. So God wants the Yom Suf. He wants the Egyptians to chase them in. Fine. So then why not have them cross the Yom Suf, go on the coast, and when the Pelishtim come, kill them also.
Well, he's not into make a World War III. He wants just to do his miracle and then let them do the right thing and get to the land that he promised.
He wanted them to be in the Midbar.
But that's not what the verses say. The verses say he wants to help them avoid war so they don't return to Egypt. So if he wants to help them avoid war, couldn't he have made it so the Pelishtim don't attack them? Or that the Pelishtim have some sandstorm on their way. And then, I mean, if God is already splitting the sea and killing the Egyptians, why not just do one more miracle so the Jews can get... And by the way, here's another problem.
And he did what he did anyway with Amalek when they
fought. True. And here's another problem. Where's Har Sinai?
In the middle.
In the middle of the desert. So what does it sound like from this? It sounds like what if the Pelishtim were not on the coast? Where would God have taken them?
To Har Sinai.
1 second. I'm just reading the verses. The verses say God did not take them the way of the Pelishtim because they were the Pelishtim were there. They were going to fight a war. What if the Pelishtim were not there? What if it was no man's land? What if it was totally deserted? Based on what we've read, where would God have taken them?
Taking them there.
Straight through them, for closer way.
So he wouldn't have brought them to Sinai to give them the Torah.
Well, he could have given them a Torah elsewhere.
Okay, so it sounds like, right, that's true, but it sounds like that giving them the Torah was accidental. It sounds like, you're right, it sounds like Har Sinai was just convenient.
Right.
That God had no original plan. Although, in the times that Moses spoke to Paro, God said, we're going to serve God, Bahar Hazeh, on that mountain. What mountain? Of course it was Har Sinai.
So, the mountains?
It says, that mountain. What mountain did it mean? Obviously, God had a mountain in mind. So that raises another question. If God is only avoiding the root of the Pelishtim because of the potential for war, it sounds like going to Har Sinai was just coincidental, which I don't think is true. It doesn't sound like it's true. It sounds like going to Har Sinai
was
the plan. So, but if that was the plan, then why does the Torah tell us the reason they went that way was to avoid the Pelishtim? Why doesn't the Torah simply say the reason we're going this way is because that's the most direct route to Sinai?
Maybe that's what they had to tell the people, the Bnei Israel. Look, we avoid that and that. So you have to go a farther way.
There could be, although this doesn't say that this is what they said to Bnei Israel. This is the narrator of the Torah talking to us. We have no way of knowing if the Jews knew God's plan.
We don't know a lot of things here. It's abbreviated.
Well, we know what we know. Right, we know that God did not tell this plan to Bnei Israel. God simply said, follow me. But we know that he avoids the coast because the Pelishtim are there, which seems to indicate that if the Pelishtim were not there, that's the route he would have taken, which would totally have bypassed Sinai, which we know from earlier verses was the original plan.
No, I have a question.
So what's the reason God took them that way? To get to Sinai or to avoid the Pelishtim?
I have a question, though. But at this point, did they know they were leaving or they were just going for 3 days to pray?
And I think they know they're leaving at this point. It can't be both, Marilyn.
Why not?
Because if it's, let's say, if it's to avoid the, because I said before, let's say it's to avoid the Pelishtim. What if the Pelishtim were on the coast? Then God would have taken them up the coast and they would have missed Sinai.
Like you said, there was other mountains.
You're right. But I'm saying, but what's the reasoning, though? You're right. In truth, it was both, but in the context of the narrative, it's hard to understand what the original plan was.
But
it's in your hand.
I'm not sure if any of the answers are particularly good, but we could try. Okay. So what's God's plan now?
To take them to Sinai. He needs to give the Torah, right?
Right.
So we have a plan. It has to take time. Now he can't just go and give them the Torah. He has to prepare them for that. So
okay.
It takes longer.
So but my question still stands. My question still stands. It sounds like had the Pelishtim not been on the coast, that's the route they would have taken.
If it wouldn't have. But they were on the coast.
No, but we have to... Okay, then tell me how you understand... How do you understand the Pesukim, then? It's a simple question of understanding the Pesukim. How do you understand the verses? God did not take them the way of the Pelishtim because of the chance of a war. So humor me. Let's say there was no chance of a war. Where would God have taken them?
The narrative would have read, there's no war, but God wants to go to Mount Sinai, so we're going to go that way.
So then why tell us that this is the reason?
Right,
exactly. If the reason is because...
It's a longer way. He didn't
it's a longer way
Sinai.
Anyway. So then why not simply say, we're going to Sinai?
Or we're going the longer way?
Either way. Why?
They might not be happy to do this.
Fine. Why not say we're going to Sinai? Because that's where we're getting... If they know they're going to avoid the police, then they know it's the longer way. You can't avoid...
They are not ready yet to hear from Sinai.
I understand that.
They don't know what it means,
Of course not. But my question is this. Why did God take them the route he took them?
He has a plan for
them. I'm asking you.
And you think he wants your pasuk?
It's in the pasuk.
40 years so the generation should die out?
No, not yet. We don't have that yet. That didn't happen yet. It's in the pasuk.
I read ahead.
That God took them this way to avoid the Pelishtim. But we already know that God planned to take them that way because of Har Sinai. So why does the Torah tell us here?
But why do you think that, where does it say that?
Because Moshe had said to Paro, we're going to serve God on that mountain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But that mountain could be Everest. I mean, it's a mountain.
So God changed his mind.
No, it could be that mountain. How did he know that Sinai was that mountain?
God knew.
But he didn't say Sinai. He said that mountain.
But that's what it means. God knew.
God knew.
So then God said, and this is God talking. So why not just say, we're going to Sinai?
Okay, answer is, ding.
I don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out. That's why these psukim are so difficult. Because the psukim tell us something which we didn't expect.
There are a bunch of reasons, though. Because we know that the Erev Rav were with them. They still had the slave mentality.
Right.
So Hashem can't tell them at that point, I'm going to make you wander around in the desert for a little bit and kind of refine you. He basically, if Moshe is speaking to the people at that point and says, this is Hashem's plan, the Erev Rav right there. I mean, they're ready to go right back.
But that's what... it's unavoidable that they're taking the longer route. It's not like God said, we're going to Israel, and then, but didn't tell them we're taking the long way. It's unavoidable that they know they're taking the longer route. They start heading south instead of east. It's obvious that they're taking the longer route. So right as after their first step, they know something's up.
How about just faith?
But he had to give them a reason. Otherwise, they would have said, why are we going this
way? Right, so my question is, exactly, that's exactly the point, man. So my question is, why does the Torah give us this reason instead of the real reason? Which is, we're going to Sinai. The route through the land of the Philistim is not going to take us where we have to go. It's true we're going to Israel, but first we have a detour at Sinai, and that's where we're going. You're 100% right. He had to tell them something.
Maybe somebody forgot to ask directions.
Could be. They could be. They got lost.
That proves God's a man.
It could be. All right, so let's try to answer. Let's try to answer some of these questions. So, first of all, when it comes to the textual question of ki karov, right, which means because it was near, which is better translated as although it was near, which is not a normal translation of ki. So Rashi suggests that because it was near, it refers to it was close to Egypt. Not that it was close, not that it was the closest route, but the taking them, the route of the Pelishtim, would have made their return to Egypt too easy. And he was afraid that they were going to see war and going to run back to Egypt.
That's okay? What it says here.
It says in the Pasuk.
It says in the English, it says that.
No.
The Hebrew key. Right, so what? But what's near? The question is, what's the subject of the word near?
Because.
What was near?
Egypt is near.
Right, that's not the only way to read it. The other way to read it is that because this route was near. That's the way a lot of... Okay, so it could be because the root was near. If it's because the root... What's the subject? It's unclear. That's right. The subject of the sentence seems to be the land of the Pelishtim. Rashi is the one who's giving us a lesson in how to understand the verse in a way which is not really pshat. It's not really so simple, right? Read the Hebrew. V'lo nacham Hashem Elokim derech eretz Pelishtim. God did not take them the way of the Pelishtim. Because it was near. So what's the subject of because it was near?
Egypt.
No. Pelishtim. No, not according to Rashi. According to the simple reading of the verse, the subject of it was near is the land of the Pelishtim.
It's also
okay, so if that's the case, then what Rashi is telling us is we have to read the verse differently. We have to read the verse, V'hibu shalach parah ta'am, v'lachal him derech eretz Pelishtim, comma. Kikarovu. There's something else that's close. What's close? The route back to Israel. That is a stretch. Route back to Egypt. That is a stretch. That is not the normal way to read the verse.
If you walk 2 days this way or 2 days toward Mount Sinai, it's the same distance back.
Right, but you're not going to meet the Philistine on the way to Sinai.
But I'm saying if it, just because it's near to Egypt, that route.
Right, it's a combination of both. It's a combination of the Philistine being on the coast... And that they would be too close to Egypt, and so that's so Rashi is forced to say that, and it is a forced interpretation, because the subject of ki karov hu, because it was near, is clearly derech eretz Pelishtim, the way of the land of the Philistines, which again would indicate that's the way they should go. But since that's not the way they went, Rashi is forced to say his interpretation. Okay. The Rashbam throws a bombshell into this, which I really think has a very fascinating implication. So let me ask you this question first. Why did the Jews spend 40 years in the desert?
They wanted to come up with a generation that was slaves.
No.
Cleansing
to become a people.
Because what's the reason the Torah, we generally understand that the Torah... Right, there's the spies, right, the spies. No. The spies went. Right, great, exactly. And so, exactly, Ron, correct. The spies gave the wrong report, and God, and all the Jews cry, we don't want to go, we don't want to go, we don't want to go. God says, okay, you don't want to go? We'll wait for your generation to die. So now, Ron, presumably what would have happened had the sin of the spies not happened?
They would have crossed into Israel.
they would have gone right away, straight away. Okay, now listen to what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says, "V'nitkaven HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahaviyam le'eretz Kanan." God intended to bring them to the land of Israel, to Canaan. "V'le'ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahanchotam derech eretz plishtim ki karovu." God did not want to bring them to the land of through the land of Plishtim. Ki karovu. What does that mean? Derech hu likanes, because it was close, maybe meaning the same thing Rashi means. Derech hu likanes miyad be'eretz Canaan. Meaning they should have gone directly into Canaan. Which, by the way, again, raises the same question. What about Sinai? When was that going to happen? But we'll leave that aside. Ulekesheyavo litorach milchamot eretz Canaan. Forget about the Plishtim. Had they gotten to Canaan and had to fight off the nations who were in Canaan, yitnu rosh v'yashuvu l'mitzrayim. They would have said, hey, we're going back,
yes, we'll go back
to Egypt. Kemo she'asu kama pamim, as they said along the route a number of times. Kedichtiv, etc. Halo tov lanu shuv mitzrayimah. Narosh v'yashuvu l'mitzrayim. Let's go back to Egypt. So what is he saying? Well, it's interesting. What is it? God purposely took them the long route and delayed their entry into Eretz Canaan, not because, it sounds like, as Ron said, which what the Torah also says, not because of the sin of the golden calf, but because he didn't think they were ready yet to fight a battle in Eretz Canaan, which then you sort of scratch your head and wonder, well, which is it? Why did God delay them from getting into the land of Israel? Was it because...
First of all, Rabbi,
yeah.
It's just, well, they were not a group yet. They had to become
battle-hardened
before they could go into Israel or any place else. They had to come together as a group.
Right.
Be one. That's the same thing that the army...
Right, but then what happens to what we just said before, which is, no, the reason why God didn't take them in right away is because of the sin of the golden calf, of the spies.
Right.
Which is it? It could be a combination of both.
Because they still weren't ready.
So it wasn't a question of the spies. So they're saying the spies had nothing to do with it. They just weren't ready.
That's right.
But the Torah says it was because of the spies.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know your name.
Oh, his name.
Yeah. Scott.
Hi, Scott. It's what Scott said earlier, though. It's they needed the miracle of the Yamsuf to terrify the rest of the nations of the world.
Right.
So that way, when they went into Canaan, they're all whimpering and shivering, saying, look what just happened to the greatest empire
but
on the planet.
They still could have had...
The rest of the stuff with the Meraglim also happened afterwards.
They still could have had the miracle of the sea and gone derech eretz plishtim, because according to most authorities, the splitting of whatever body of water it was happened right where they were leaving Egypt. And then they first started heading east a little bit, then they headed south. But the first trip was the Kriyat Yamsuf, and they could have then, that wasn't eastward. So that may have happened anyway. Although there are other views as
why
to where the splitting was.
Why do hear about the Meraglim? They are not here.
Correct.
It's not
Sefer Yoshua. It's in the Chumash. But not right here. But we're told...
When did they send? Before Yoshua, they send them in.
But we're told that they were spending 40 years in the desert for the generation to die out because of the sin of the Meraglim. And here the Rashbam is telling us, well, maybe they spent time in the desert in order to get themselves, whatever it is, mentally prepared or battle-hardened or whatever it is, to get into Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's probably a combination of both, but it does raise that interesting question.
But when the sin of the spies was because they were not ready. They were in a group. They didn't think they could
get in. Right, that's true. That's true. They didn't think they could get in. Right, that's true. That's true.
And also, to show they are not ready, came the Egel. They're not ready.
Right, the Egel's another problem. Right, that's true.
So
okay.
We have to educate them. Education takes time.
Yeah.
So let's bring them to the desert.
Okay, so now I want to show you something really, really neat. Let's look at the handout that I gave you. This is very, very cool. This is a commentary written by the Baalei HaTosfot from the 12th and 13th century. And we're going to look at the second line of the Hebrew. Also trying to figure out what ki karov means. Ki karov hu. Davar acher, dalet aleph, davar acher. Ki am plishtim kirovim heim lemitzrayim. A totally different approach. Ki karov hu, because it was close, does not mean because it was proximally close. It's because there was some sort of relationship, familial relationship, between Mitzrayim and the Plishtim.
They're the Phoenicians and the Plishtim.
The Philistines.
Not Phoenicians.
Philistines. Let's see what it says. Ki am Plishtim kirovim heim leMitzrayim shenemar uMitzrayim yalad, etc. Let's look at the Pesukim I quoted, then we'll come back to the commentary. Look at the Pesukim below. Shmot Tet. This is Shemotet? Yeah. This is Bereshit Tet. Excuse me, I mislabeled it. This is Bereshit Tet. Umitzrayim yalad et ludim ve'et anamim ve'et lehavim ve'et naftuchim ve'et patrusim ve'et kasluchim asher yatsu misham pilishtim ve'et kaftorim. So there's a familial relationship between Mitzrayim and Pelishtim. Now we go back to the commentary, second line from the bottom. Peninachem ha'am sheyilchamu imahem al divar asher barchu mitachat yad Mitzrayim krovehem. Really what this Balei HaTosfot is answering is, why would the Pelishtim start even with the Jews? Especially considering what Daniel said. Everyone knows, when in Az Yashir we're going to read, everyone knows about what happened at Yam Suf, at the sea. Everyone knows that God is protecting the Jewish people. Why would the Pelishtim start up with the Jewish people? All they want to do is pass, theoretically, all they would just do is pass through their land on their way to Eretz Canaan. Why would they do it? So it seems like they would feel obligated to do it because they're family. And they would have heard that the Jews left, ran away, escaped from Egypt against Paro's wishes, and Paro chased them, and Paro was killed at the sea. And we're going to now avenge the honor or the death of our kinsmen, and we're going to go after him. The Shavu Mitzrayim, the Yeshivim Mitzrayim. They're going to, the Pelishtim are going to overtake the Jews and return them
to Egypt.
Yeah, but Rabbi, there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Where is the communication?
What communication?
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't understand.
There was no communication. How would they know?
That's a good question.
Caravan trail.
Yeah, people find out things. It's certainly not as quick as we know things.
Drumbeats.
But people found things out. They're, you know, people travel on camel, on donkey, or whatever it was,
caravans.
By foot. Caravans, yeah, and they figure it out. That's a good, yeah. So I wonder about that, too. So those are two approaches to the textual issue. Which is, he could mean because, but not referring to the obvious subject of the verse, but Rashi's sort of reread of the verse, or what we just saw from Datsa Kane. Now that deals with the textual problems. We have to deal also with the conceptual issue, which is the question I asked earlier. Why does God need to have them avoid the Pelishtim? If he just drowned, right, God doing battle for them. That's what God told. What did God tell Moshe at the foot of the sea? Hashem yilachem lachem. God is going to do battle for you. So if God's going to do battle for you against the Egyptians, why didn't God just say, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm just taking you through the Pelishtim. I'm going to just clear the way and get this whole thing over with.
You wouldn't have to sit and learn.
They wouldn't believe him.
What's that?
They didn't believe him. They never believed him.
They would have done it anyway. Then maybe they would have believed
them. Just like when they went to Israel, they didn't believe that God would fight for them. And they
right, but
know.
God fighting for them was never contingent on them believing in him. He always did it. Right?
And they never believed in him.
So, you're right, this may not necessarily have increased their faith, but it would have got the job done without having them to travel and schlep through the desert for 40 years. Now, the unanswered question is, where does Sinai come into all of this? But That's not what this verse says, that the reason he took them this circuitous route is because of the Pelishtim. Any suggestions?
Can't rely on miracles.
The Jews can't rely on miracles, but God can. Right? If the Jews sort of said, Moshe would have said, look, we're going to go the long route because it's safer, and the Jews would have said, no, we're going Derech Eretz Pelishtim, and God will save us, that would have been an improper reliance on miracles. But again, this is not the Jews' choice. This is God's choice.
Okay, so are we looking at the first sentence of the Datsa Canaan?
Well, that would actually indicate that he should take them in that direction. Right? Kolomar ha'am karov shel kodesh baruch hu shenemar levnei Yisrael am karov v'lakach lo hanigam kimin hago shel olam.
Right, he's saying...
But that's exactly what he...
You're not going to act as ordinary.
That's what he did. Ordinarily, you avoid trouble. So we're going to go the long route.
Ordinarily, you go the shorter route.
Even if there's a war?
God's going to do a miracle.
But so that's what he's saying, right? The Tosfot are saying God is not going to act with Bnei Yisrael in a normal fashion. What's a normal fashion? You avoid war. That's exactly what God did. The abnormal fashion would have been taking them through Eretz Pelishtim and wiping out the Pelishtim. So this is not going to help us.
But it's also, if you look at the language, Sha'am Karov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenet Ma'am Bnei Yisrael Am Karovo. We are God's beloved, right?
Right.
So Hashem wanted to spend time with us in the desert. Just us.
Okay, it could be. Although he could have spent time with us in Israel.
He does.
There's better oranges there.
He does.
Yeah. It could be,
the courtship.
Okay, it could be.
Is any one of the Mefarshim dealing with it?
To
solve it? That,
sure, yeah, yeah. I'm asking you first.
We are not the Mefarshim.
But you know what? Rashi wasn't Rashi either when he started learning Chumash. But he became Rashi because he thought about it. So we have to think about it.
You're trying to see who will come up
with. His mother didn't call him Rashi.
But he didn't have TV.
So, any suggestions? So, Scott hinted to it earlier, where they said the Jews have to learn to fend for themselves. Meaning, if every time there's a battle, God is going to fight it for them.
Well, that's the same thing as
then. They're never going to be able to learn to fend for themselves, and when they get to the land of Israel, they're going to be constantly reliant on Hashem.
It's like the thing you said Monday night. If somebody's able-bodied, you want to do things for yourself.
Right. There's one slight problem, though, with that theory.
If you do things for you, then...
There's one slight problem with that theory, which is, if the whole purpose of this is to get the Jews to fend for themselves, and again, to avoid war, look on page 150, which is this week's Parsha 2. Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Berufidim. Right away there's a war. Now, it's true that here they fight, but there are also maybe some verses indicating that God did the fighting for them. So it's hard to say that the reason that... It also begs the question, if God's purpose was to help them avoid war, then why did he lead them right into Amalek's hands?
He needs them to practice a little.
So then why not practice with the Pelishtim? Meaning that we're really stuck in a catch-22. If the purpose of God taking them this circuitous route is to avoid war...
The Pelishtim were close to Egypt. They will run back to Egypt. So let's take them a little bit...
Okay, could be. That's a good answer.
Practice.
But if the whole point is to avoid war,
yeah,
then...
No, the point is not to avoid war.
But it's also don't look for trouble. But Amalek was looking for trouble.
Right. Okay. That's a good answer. I like that answer. I want to read something from Yoel Ben Nun, which is very interesting. He doesn't like any of these interpretations.
Of course not.
Because he asks the same questions that we have. He says the basic assumption in all the traditional interpretations is that God wanted to avoid confronting Israel with war at all costs, at least at the outset. Since he was concerned that this would inspire them to abandon their cause and physically turn around and return to Egypt. The difficulty in this assumption is that in actuality, the alternate route through the desert led them into war with Egypt almost immediately. which was at the sea, right, causing an instant public outcry to return to Egypt. So his plan failed right away. Right away, they say, we're going to die in the sea. Let's go back to Egypt. That's first of all. God's action seems to have achieved the opposite of his intention. Furthermore, why could God not have saved them from disaster on the desert route in exactly the same miraculous manner that he saved them at sea? After all, the reaction of the Jews when the Egyptian army caught up with them, for it is better for us to serve Egypt than to die in the desert, was exactly the reaction that God feared should they see war, and God nevertheless dealt with it. God will fight for you and you shall be still. Right? God says, take you not the way to Pelishtim, because we don't want you to see war, we don't want you to say we're going back to Egypt. And then right away they see war and they say, we're going back to Egypt. And what does God do? God says, stop crying, I'm going to take care of it. So he could have also said the same thing about the Pelishtim. I'm going to take care of it. This repeated itself several times during the journey. The classical commentaries, known as difficulty, propose solutions which seem somewhat contrived. Okay, he doesn't like this. But then he goes on to add another problem, which was the problem that I meant before. Even though this route was shorter, God wished to avoid war with Pelishtim. However, the Ramban is confronted with the difficulty that on the longer route, they met Amalek instead of the Pelishtim, which was the question we just raised. They're going to avoid war. What's one war or the other one? So, this is what he says. Modern scholars offer a different solution to our problem, which resembles Ramban's interpretation. Bas reliefs on the walls of the Temple of Karnak, dating to the rule of Paro Seti I, toward the end of the 13th century BCE, show that the entire northern Sinai coastal region was under direct Egyptian sovereignty, with Egyptian military outposts all along the way. Israel, fearing a trap, avoided the coastal road from the outset. Plausible though this theory may sound, the reason it proposes for the change of route is not the one mentioned in the Torah. God did not fear an Egyptian trap, but rather the desire of the Jews to return to Egypt. So it's interesting, right? There are Egyptian sentries all along the route, and that's what they are afraid of. That makes sense, but that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says it was Pelishtim, and the Torah says that they were afraid that the Jews were going to want to go back. So he has a fascinating interpretation based on the Abarbanel. He says as follows. Various early commentators hinted that there is a hidden reason for the change of route. God's plan to drown the Egyptians, which is what you said. This is what the Abarbanel says. Which is close, meaning God did not take them the way which was close, and therefore should have been the route of travel. God said, lest the nation have a change of heart if they see war, any war, whether for the land or at any point in history, and return to Egypt. To request aid and patronage from Paro. So God led the nation roundabout along the way of the desert by the Red Sea so that Paro would pursue them, guaranteeing that war would take place and the Israelites left Egypt armed. God had to arrange for it that the Egyptians died and got killed. Because until then, there would have been a mindset of the Egyptians, they could always go back and ask the Egyptians to help. They could always feel that they are subjects of the Egyptians and always ask the Egyptians to help. And he goes on to say as follows. He paints a very interesting picture, right? Because remember, the Torah is always warning about going back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Why would the Jews go back to Egypt unless God was afraid that they would always see themselves as subjects to Egypt. So then he says as follows. The way of the land of Pelishtim was an official route under Egyptian jurisdiction, as were considerable portions of Canaan. Had Israel taken Paro's road, again, he's assuming that the whole coastal road was under Egyptian control, they would have displayed good faith to him and de facto recognition of his protection. At every checkpoint along the road, they would have shown Paro's letter of safe passage. The sentries would have passed them through and entered into their logs that Paro's subjects passed through according to his instructions. Israel would have sent Paro a letter of thanks whenever they found themselves in danger, especially in situations of war, that he would have sent Paro's letter similar to the petition for aid sent to Paro, by Biridia, king of Shechem. Had Israel left Egypt in this fashion, Paro would never have pursued them. He could have granted them the mountain region and even made them his representatives there. In times of war, the people would have returned to Egypt to seek protection. That's what it means if they see war. He didn't send them the route of the Pelishtim because had they seen war, not the Pelishtim attacking them, but as Egyptian subjects, had someone else come to attack Egypt or to attack them, they would have returned to Egypt. Why?
Protection.
Just simply, right, simply for protection, to seek protection. Needless to say, this exodus would not have been conducive to revelation. A slave nation which progressed from slave status in Egypt to vassal status in Canaan would not have achieved true freedom, even it would have been freed of hard labor. A nation which is not free could not have received the Torah. So what he's saying is that he was concerned that the Jews were going to get to Israel, but they would get to Israel and they would still consider themselves subjects of Paro. So Paro had to be lured so they could be totally destroyed, and the Jews could look back and say, well, we can't possibly be subjects to him anymore because
he's not there.
They're gone. Moshe's prophecy and leadership, including God's revelation at Sinai, giving the Torah, stem from a state of complete indifference from Paro. For this reason, God led them on the desert route into confrontation, into war, into salvation and singing. So, because then answers the question, if God wanted them to in war, why have the Egyptians follow them? And why does he lead them right into the hands of Amalek? Because that's not the war God was talking about. God knew he could help them in that war. Of course he was going to help them in those wars. What war was he concerned about? A war against Egypt, where the Jews would just have returned back to Egypt as Pharaoh's subjects for further assistance or maybe even to assist him. God was afraid of a war much later, only once the Jews got to Egypt, and that's the reason why he took them that route. So this is unclear on purpose, according to Rabbi Bin Nun, that the real reason God took the Jews that way was to drown the Egyptians in the desert. In the sea. The language here has to be read very carefully. Ki karov hu probably means it was close in the sense that it was an Egyptian road. And so they would have never really felt that they were leaving Egypt. And when they saw war, they would have come back for help from Mitzrayim. So those are some of the questions and some of the various approaches to this issue. It still really begs the question of Har Sinai. Doesn't really answer the question. If God really only took them that way to trick the Egyptians into following them, then where does the original intent of going to Har Sinai come in? Still unclear.
7 weeks.
What's that?
You need 7 weeks to make the dates work.
My question is before that even. Meaning, already in Egypt they said, we're going to serve God on that mountain.
Yeah, but don't you need 7 weeks to go from Pesach to
Okay, everyone, have a good day.